It's as been said before, stories in the Old Testament of the people that we meet, such as Abraham in this chapter, are merely the frame of the picture. It is, as it were, a vivid picture, but not of Abraham and of Isaac this morning. It is the vivid picture of the Father and Jesus. And that's what the whole Bible is about. It's a challenge for us every time as we read the Old Testament scriptures to look for Christ and to look for the glory of God in those passages. And this one is not so difficult to see. So with God's help this morning, let's just look and sit at the feet of the Lord in the scriptures that we have in Genesis chapter 22, the vivid picture of divine love. And without rereading the chapter, we'll look at the command of this love, and second, the act of this love, and thirdly, the purpose of this love. Command, act, and purpose. Was it night? It looks like it. Because it says in verse 3, and Abram rose up early in the morning. It was quiet, undoubtedly, and that's why God often took the nights to speak to Abraham. Because he had about 350 servants crawling around him, no doubt, all day. And in this particular night that is recorded here, God gives him a command that has no equal among any of the commands that has ever been given to man. Let's read it again. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Tempting means testing, proving. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Just imagine, moms and dads, you wake up this night and you get something like that from heaven's court. I could not imagine what I might feel at that moment. Because it is only imagination. But this was not imagination. Take your son and offer him to me. It's not the first time that Abram had some difficult assignment. He had to leave his father and mother. He had to leave the comfort of Ur, where he grew up, and go into an unknown country. No GPS, no prior moment of where am I going? Follow me, Abraham. And he did. That's not easy. He dealt with trials and struggles in his life. It's been 25 years of waiting before finally God fulfilled the promise. It seems hopeless, right? Sarah's old, beyond the time of bearing children. And all these tests that Abram has had in this life already have shown that this man is a true believer. See, you don't know if you're a true believer until you get tested. Talk is easy and cheap. But you know if you're a true believer when there comes true obedience to God's commandments. Did you notice in this chapter that God is testing Abram? In verse 12 it says, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know thou fear God. Not by what you talked about, what you said, and what you shared, or what you did. God knows if you fear him, by how you live, by what you sacrifice. And notice in verse 16, verse 16. Thou hast not withheld thine only son. And in verse 18, you passed the test. You obeyed my voice. You see, beloved, these are the tests of what's real. Obedience. And this was hard in Abram's life, but nothing was like what he got to hear in verse 2. After these things, that means Isaac is now grown up young man. Perhaps Abram imagined that joy will never end. See my son growing up. Maybe he imagined he could finally lay his weary head on the pillow and go to sleep in the Lord. Because the promise has been fulfilled, and the guarantee of that is his very Isaac, that God will not fail his word. And then, Abraham, take your only son, whom you love. What God commanded him to do in verse 2 is an act that cuts the deepest in his life. You can imagine it. It's like McEwen says, to hear your child will die a natural death or will be suddenly snatched away from life by an accident, that is mournful and agonizing. But to hear this shocking command and mysterious mandate is worse than a thousand deaths. Go take your son and offer him to me as a burnt sacrifice. Why, Lord? No, he didn't ask. But we could ask, right? Why did thou ask him to do this, Lord? Why would thou cut so deeply into this father heart? Why? Oh, friends, it is to bring out to us the graces that God worked in the heart of Abraham. Let's not forget, the test is not just about Abraham. The test is about the grace of God in Abraham. I love to bring in 1 Peter 1 verse 7, where Peter writes that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, here it comes, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So obvious, God is here bringing glory to himself to see what his grace is able to accomplish. Over all the natural feelings of this father triumphs the love of his heart to God. But the greater reason for this mysterious command is to provide us or God an occasion to reveal to us the greatness of God's love. For I asked you a moment ago, is there any command more difficult than this one? Greater than this one that Abraham received? And the answer is yes. There's one infinitely greater. For it was God who said to Abraham, take your son. But it is God the Father who commands his son. Go and sacrifice yourself to me for a burnt offering. This goes farther. Infinitely farther. And that's what this story is all about. It's about God. It's about the Father. It's about Jesus. God commanded His Son to come into our earth. To come into our curse. God the Father commanded Jesus to go do the Father's business. That's how He puts it, isn't He? It didn't begin with Jesus. It didn't begin with Isaac. It begins with the Father. This incredible, astounding, infinite being, God the Father, who commands His Son to go and lay down His life as a sacrifice for Himself. The Apostle John writes, God is love, isn't it? And he must have gleaned that from John 3:16. For so God the Father loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Isn't it? So He loved Him. So He loved this world, I mean, that He gave His only begotten Son. God is love. God is 100% love, my friend. It is pure love that He is. And listen to here the scriptures in 1 John chapter 4. Let me just read it to you. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Here in His love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here's a father who's been delighting in His Son every day, Proverbs 8 reveals us. And He commands His Son to leave His presence. He commands. He didn't ask. He didn't say, Son, would you like to? No, none of that. Command His Son. Jesus brings that out very clearly in John 10. And He, as the good shepherd, speaks about Himself. Therefore does My Father love Me, because I lay down My life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of My Father. Notice the word commandment. Just like Abraham. Take your son. In the beginning of John 1, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of His Father. He's declared Him in a mysterious way. The Son laid not on, but in the bosom of His Father. And He commanded Him to leave that bosom, as it were, to enter into the depth of hell. Father commanded His Son. That reveals, my friends, this heart of God is love. Bottomless love. Infinite love. Indescribable love. This God's heartbeat is only love. And that's why all the other attributes are nothing else but a revelation of His love. I won't elaborate on that. But the essence of God is love. And Abraham commanded Isaac on the next morning to rise up with him, and took the ass and saddle, and took the wood and laid it upon his son as he walked up the mountain after these days of traveling. Abraham commanded Isaac to carry the wood, but that was just a few branches. But the father commanded him to carry the cross. Cursed cross. Shameful cross. Humiliating cross. He commanded him, carry the cross. He humiliated his own son. Shamed, loaded him with the shame as he numbered him among the transgressors. And Jesus obeyed consciously, willfully, joyfully, submissively, cheerfully. Let's go on to the second part then, the act of love. And we see that in this chapter so brilliantly stated, because next morning, Abram doesn't dally. He doesn't just walk around dazed in the day. Must I do this? No. Early in the morning, he saddled his ass, he gets things ready, and he travels without saying anything to Sarah, undoubtedly. And saying anything to Isaac. It is only between him and his God that these things are there, that this man is carrying this for 3 days, and in a way, for 3 days, he walked with a dead Isaac. In his mind, he's dead already. His only begotten son didn't begin to be a sacrifice on day 3, but on day 1 of this journey. And for these 3 days, they walk, and he talks alone. What is going on in the mind of that man is for us not to even guess. But we know that Abraham loved God more than Isaac. Love, my friends, true love is more than a fleeting feeling. True love is more than tender words. Here comes again the distinction between the true and the false. The false can so often float on feeling. But the true acts. It's the act of love that shows whether your love is true. Well, look at that again tonight. Abram didn't object. Abram didn't delay. Abram didn't question. But Abram obeyed fully and heartily. Let's look at those two words. Fully and heartily. Now, fully is illustrated in all his actions. I already referred to it. He goes on in verse 3. And finally, when he comes to the place, verse 9, and he came to the place which God had told him of, and Abram built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him upon the altar of wood, and stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Together they built the altar, I would assume. But then Isaac's activity stopped, and Abram's went on. Those hands that must have hugged his father so often, he had to bind him with a rope. As the sacrifice was bound by their legs, so was Isaac. Imagine Abram winding that rope around those boys' hands. I don't know if he also bound his feet. Don't know. But he was bound. And then he hoisted him, as it were, up on the altar. stretch him out. Maybe put a last kiss on his face. His Isaac. And he took the knife, and Isaac saw the knife. And Abram saw the face. And then God stopped him. It's clear, you know that. I said it is not only love that he did fully, but also heartily. I don't know if you ever noticed in verse 5, at the bottom of the mountain, he says to this young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lads will go yonder and worship. Going to worship. Ever notice that? Abram didn't say, alas, I have to go and do this. No. Abraham said, I'm going to worship God in giving him my dearest. That's worship. Worship is not just only singing praises in church. Worship is not just reading your Bible faithfully and good books. That's all part of it. But the real act of worship comes. And I'm willing to give up my dearest if God asks me for it. Think of the many today who give up their liberty, who are in jail because of Christ, who are cast out of their family because of Jesus, who lose their job, their income, because of their faithfulness to Christ. That's worship. That's what Abram does here, go to worship God. Clearly, friends, the touch of the Almighty has made his heart willing, but Isaac also is amazing. He did obey. His act of submission is an act of love. He doesn't say, Father. He didn't object. He didn't resist. He didn't run off. He didn't fight his father. He didn't say, life, Father. It's one thing to die the martyr's death. And it's another thing to die as a guilty man or of a rebellious man. But this boy, man, died as a dutiful son in the obedience to his father. And dear congregation, in that Isaac is only a faint glimmer of Jesus, our Savior. A faint shadow of the bright glory of Golgotha. Why is that? Well, Isaac, he walked those 3 days in ignorance to Mount Moriah. But our Savior did not walk in ignorance. Every step he took, he is fully aware where that will end. The moment he left his father's bosom and intimately joined himself with the human nature, he knew where that would end. Isaac didn't. Jesus did. He is fully conscious of all the doleful circumstances of the cross, yet willingly gave himself to become the transgressor, bound with our cord, imputed with our sins, covered with the rags and the sins of our nature, against every commandment, shamed as the cursed one, cast off as a filthy wretch. Isaac was a glimmer. Because as he lay down at altar and he looked at that sweet face of his father, looking undoubtedly with tears in his eyes, as he's ready to plunge the knife in him. Isaac was sacrificed in the context of love. But Jesus didn't see his father's eyes at all. He was crucified in the context of divine anger. You see? He didn't get a kiss as he laid on the sacrifice altar. No, his father turned his face from him, and it pleased him to bruise the servant, his son. And so as we this morning ponder about the sufferings of Jesus, let's remind ourselves it's not the envy of the Jews. It's not the coward act of Pilate. It's not the covetous act of Judas. It is the love act of God the Father that crucified his son for you. What an astonishing mystery is this love of God. True love cannot be greater than what God the Father and Son did, congregation. Abraham, go take your only son and sacrifice him to me. To whom did Abraham sacrifice Isaac? To the God he loved and the God who loved him. True. Abraham sacrificed Isaac as a friend to his benefactor and to his lover. True. But God didn't sacrifice his son like that. God sacrificed his son as a lover to his enemies, to those that hated him. That is the mysterious greatness of this message of the gospel. So God loved the world. The world, hostile, lovers of darkness, despisers of his law, takers and destroyers. So God loved this sick, sick world of sinners, that he gave his only begotten son. Stand in awe this morning and ponder this in this faint picture of it as we see Abram standing before the altar with Isaac. As we ponder this morning the outstretched form of Jesus Christ on the cross, this is my body broken for you. And this is my blood shed for you. Now lastly, the purpose of this love. God's purpose in Abram's sacrifice was to test his love for his Savior. But the purpose of the Father's sacrifice of his Son to us is not just to show us love. Love by itself can't save you. It was to make it possible to pardon our sins in a holy and a just way. Salvation must always be in harmony with all God's attributes. Yeah, his attributes of holiness and his attributes of justice. I said earlier in the sermon today that that's all related to his glory of his love. All these attributes are in harmony. In order to save you, the purpose of God's sacrifice on the cross was to pay for you, beloved, lovers of God and seekers of God and believers in God. It was to make it possible to pardon our sins. And that is what the upright soul desires, isn't it? To have an honorable way of pardon. And there is possible. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you. To pay the price. To bring in the ransom. Mere love could not atone and wipe away the guilt and cancel the debts, but the Father provided His Son in order to be our substitute. That was the purpose. And that this morning, God invites all His children to really ponder. As we will moment read that from the form, the focus of the whole Lord's Supper celebration is to think about the ransom payment He made for your sins, children of God. May that also be in our mind today. Let's sing together Psalm 304, verses 2 and 6. His saints delight to search and trace His mighty works and wondrous ways. And what follows in 6, so 304, 2 and 6.